A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to hold your ground. With all prayer and supplication, pray at every opportunity in the Spirit. To that end, be watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the holy ones. The word of the Lord. You are my inheritance, O Lord. Keep me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, my Lord are you. O Lord, my allotted portion and my cup, you it is who hold fast my lot.
You are my inheritance, O Lord.
I bless the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart exhorts me. I set the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed.
You are my inheritance, O Lord.
You will show me the path to life, fullness of joys in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever.
You are my inheritance, O Lord.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteo.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Someone approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you ask me about the good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He asked him, "Which ones?" And Jesus replied, "You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All of these I have observed. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible."
Verbum Domini.
As we had yesterday for the memorial on the Franciscan calendar of St. Berard and his companions, the proto-martyrs, the first martyrs of the Franciscan order, we have the proper readings as well today for St. Anthony of the Desert. And we had the proper readings yesterday for Berard and companions. So we've been going through Mark for this first week in ordinary time for liturgical year one of the weekday cycle of readings. But yesterday and today, we broke from that cycle from Mark to hear from Matthew, because these Gospels from Matthew tie in to the lives of these saints. Again, Berard and his companions yesterday, the first martyrs of the Franciscan order, and today, St. Anthony of the Desert, also known as St. Anthony the Abbot. St. Anthony of the Desert, the celebrated father of monks and monasticism, was born in Egypt around the year 250. After his parents died, he distributed his property to the poor, oversaw the care of his younger sister with a convent of nuns, and then, beginning a life of personal penance, withdrew into solitude. This he did after being profoundly transformed by hearing the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 19, which we just heard from, being preached aloud inside of a church. "If you wish to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." He attracted disciples and labored on behalf of the church, giving support to believers, especially during the persecution of Diocletian, the Roman emperor, and assisting St. Athanasius against the Arians and the Arian heresy. Anthony died in 356. Also known as the father of hermit monks who live in solitude, worth noting is that St. Anthony would not let his fellow hermits that were trained under him for that life, he would not let them live in solitude in the desert in their individual hermitages unless they could first prove that they could live in community life with others in the main father house of the community. That's very interesting. Then and only then could they live for a time in their hermitages a life of solitude in the desert and prayer, but then would have to return for a period of time to the main father house to once again live in community before going back out into the hermitage. And not just during the great solemnities and feasts like Christmas and Easter. They would have to periodically come back to the main father house and live in community life. Again, showing the importance of love towards neighbor, love towards your fellow human person, right? And the importance of living in community, because we are first and foremost social beings. We read in the book of Genesis, it is not good that man be alone, right? So God makes Adam a complementary helpmate, right? Anthony's primitive, organized way of life earned him the title of the father of monasticism and also the father of the desert monks. And his erudite sayings formed a spiritual touchstone for succeeding generations of ascetics, including Saint Benedict, who's considered the founder specifically of Western monasticism, right? Anthony was born in Egypt. There's a beautiful quote from Mother Angelica. She says, "A vocation is a gift from beginning to end, a call to rise above the things of this world and prove by a living witness that there is something more and something better to come." Beautiful quote on the importance of vocation from the Latin infinitive vocare, which means to call or to receive a calling, to have a calling. Literally, the translation would be to call because it's in the infinitive. Vocare, to call. And God calls each and every one of us. Another short life of St. Anthony of the Desert tells us the following about him, with a few repeated points that I just shared with you. Renowned as the father of monasticism, St. Anthony of the Desert was one of the first to lead an austere life of prayer and fasting in the solitude of the desert. As a hermit, he soon became a great counselor to clergy, to monks, and to lay people alike, who would go out to meet him in his solitude to receive spiritual direction from him, as many sought out his wisdom to help guide their own lives and their own vocations. So here we see one vocation of solitude assisting other vocations of activity, showing that all vocations have a part to play one with the other. And I think that's a beautiful point in our Catholic traditions. As a hermit, Anthony soon became a great counselor again to the clergy, to the monks, and lay people alike, both married and single, as many sought out his wisdom to help guide their own lives. Anthony's chief biographer is Saint Athanasius, he who fought against Arianism. And his main biography of Anthony's became a classic text for Western monasticism and how to live it well. Anthony's wisdom was collected into the sayings of several desert fathers. For example, to a fellow abbot, Anthony once gave this advice: "Do not trust in your own righteousness. Practice moderation in food and talk. And above all, don't worry about things done in your past." Now, I want to focus on that last one because we're weak. We tend to hang on and focus on our past, right? How come you're all sinking in your pews when I say that right now? You're all sinking in your pews, right? Listen to this beautiful quote again from Anthony of the Desert. To a fellow abbot, he once gave this advice: "Don't trust in your own righteousness. Practice moderation in food and talk. And don't worry about things done in your past." And that's the one I want to focus on. That's this little kernel of wisdom from this great founder of the desert monks, of desert monasticism. Don't worry about things done in your past. And this is a theme I've touched upon here when I filled in at EWTN, because I think it's very, very important. You know, as a member of the Fathers of Mercy, my community in Kentucky, whose main apostolate is itinerant missionary preaching. We go into parishes and preach the week-long parish mission. We arrive on the Friday and we leave on the following Friday. When we arrive on the Friday, we preach at all the weekend masses. And then the 4 or 5 night parish mission begins on Sunday night or Monday night, and it runs all the way through Thursday night on a particular theme, of which a series of talks, 4 or 5 talks, are presented to the people each night. We also preach weekend conferences, weekend retreats, day-long conferences, day-long retreats, so like father-son retreats, mother-daughter retreats, engaged couple retreats, widower's retreats, which I like to playfully joke, are soon followed by a marriage retreat, okay, all right? And we give marriage retreats, so we fill the bill, whatever we're called to do by the pastor or bishop. We also give many retreats to religious orders of men and women, and we also give many retreats to diocesan priests. Religious orders, men and women, and diocesan priests are required by canon law for an annual retreat. Notice that your Franciscan friars, our beloved MFVAs, the Franciscan Friars of the Eternal Word, Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, that's what the acronym MFVA is in the Latin, the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, are all on retreat this week at the beautiful Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Hansville, where Mother Angelica's sisters are, and they have their retreat master who's giving them all their talks in the beautiful priest retreat house and the beautiful priest retreat house chapel. So they're fulfilling their duty this week with their annual canonical retreat. So we Fathers of Mercy fit the bill. We go where we're called to go to preach. Okay, again, a day-long event, a weekend event, or a full week-long event. The parish missions are the most popular, especially during Advent and Lent. And also now, during the 50-day Easter season, the week-long parish missions are very, very popular. Why is that? I credit it to the extreme growth of the Divine Mercy devotion here in the United States. And that's a great thing. So really, the 50-day Easter season is becoming quite popular, almost rivaling Lent and Advent as the most popular times to have a parish mission. But my point is this, as itinerant preachers, as traveling preachers, what sacraments do we administer the most? It's no secret. It's the Eucharist, the celebration of daily Mass, and confessions. We don't do many baptisms on site at our events. We've been called to do baptisms if the pastor isn't there the course of that weekend that we were there to preach at all the weekend masses before the parish mission begins on Sunday night or Monday night. We might do a baptism, but it's not common. If we do a marriage, it's for a relative or friend, most likely, okay? We do administer the anointing of the sick, but the most we administer is the celebration of the Eucharist as a sacrament and of reconciliation or holy confession as a sacrament. So this is an important topic about one not forgiving themselves for their past, which can lead to scrupulosity. And again, I know this is a theme I've touched on in the past in my televised homilies, but it's a very important one. The mercy of God demands that you move forward. Once you've confessed your sins, unless you do them again, especially the more grave mortal sins, unless you do them again, yes, you have to confess them again. But once you've confessed them and you don't redo them, you have to move forward. Amen? Amen. The saints move forward. Okay? So that's our 3 points today. Forgive yourself, move forward, and experience freedom. That's our 3 points for today. Forgive, forward, and freedom. Forgive yourself and others, but namely yourself, because I'm talking about in the context of personal sin, actual sin. Forgive yourself, move forward, and experience freedom. Sounds like a good bumper sticker, huh? Right? You know, there's two great quotes that kind of dovetail with what Anthony of the Desert just told us. And again, to remind you what he just told us, don't worry about things done in your past. Right? Two great quotes. One is from St. Augustine, but it's often also attributed to Padre Pio that he said it often. And it's this: my past, O Lord, to your mercy, my present to your love, and my future to your divine providence. Now I'll do it from your perspective in the pews. My past, O Lord, to your present. Excuse me. My past, O Lord, to your mercy, my present to your love, and my future to your divine providence. Moving forward, right? Again, St. Augustine, often attributed as well to Padre Pio. My past, O Lord, to your mercy, my present to your love, and my future to your divine providence. Is that great? I mean, that's speaking volumes, right? That is speaking volumes. And in St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, whose life I've been reading lately, don't mess with Mother Seton, okay? I mean, she's one tough lady, one tough holy lady, okay? She says something very similar, very, very similar. She might have gotten it from Augustine and put her own twist on it. Again, I'll do it from your perspective in the pews, right? Elizabeth Ann Seton says this: oh my God, forgive what I have been, correct what I now am, and direct what I shall become, meaning the future. And boy, did he. Boy, did God do just that for her. She's a canonized saint from the United States. See, holiness is possible. The United States, right? Oh my God, forgive what I have been, correct what I now am, and direct what I shall become. It's very similar, isn't it, to Augustine and Padre Pio's, my past, O Lord, to your mercy, my present to your love, and my future to your divine providence. Two great quotes from three great saints that are very telling of the truth that St. Anthony of the Desert gives us. Don't worry about things done in your past. Amen?
Amen.
Forgive yourself, move forward, and experience freedom. Now, I know I've given you these because my records show that I've given you these, but again, it's a topic that's worth repeating. It's very important, I think, in today's very secular, anti-Christian, anti-God culture, some say,
and in one sense, rightly so, a post-Christian culture, very, very much formed by relativism and secular humanism, where there's a lot of woundedness out there, and people are sorry for what they've done, but they can't seem to move forward and forgive themselves. This is why the sacrament of reconciliation is so beautiful. I want to give you Father Wade's five favorite scripture passages, four from the New Testament, one from the Old Testament, on how to move forward, or why, more aptly, why we should move forward. Okay? Number one, Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus' own words. No one who puts a hand to the plow and yet keeps looking back is fit for service of the kingdom of God. In other words, move forward. Don't keep looking back. Don't look back. In fact, I titled these five scripture passages, Don't Look Back on Your Past Sins. Once you've confessed them, move forward. Don't look back. Again, Luke 9:62, no one who puts a hand to the plow and yet keeps looking back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Jesus' own words. Number two, Philippians 3:13. St. Paul says, I focus on this one thing and one thing only, forgetting the past and looking only forward to what lies ahead. What a great quote. Take that one quote from Philippians 3:13 and make it your meditation for the day. Enter into that scripture passage. Philippians 3:13, St. Paul, I focus on this one thing and one thing only, forgetting the past and looking only forward to what lies ahead. Number three, easy to remember, 2 Peter 2, verse 22. So 2 Peter 2, 22, the second letter of Peter, there's two letters of Peter, the second letter of Peter, chapter 2, verse 22. Very easy to remember as a passage. Peter says, do not be like a dog that keeps returning to its own vomit. There he's quoting Proverbs 26:11, St. Peter is. And then he continues, nor be like a sow that after washing herself returns to wallow in her mire. Pretty powerful. Now, as a farm boy who grew up on a dairy in Modesto, California, I can appreciate that quote. Do not be like a dog that keeps returning to its own vomit. Again, St. Peter quoting Proverbs 26:11. Nor be like a sow that after washing herself returns to wallow in her own mire. In other words, don't throw the pity party for yourself. Don't throw the pity party for yourself. Move forward. And John 8, verse 11, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus' own words to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. When you tell someone to go, are you telling them forwards or backwards? Forwards, yeah. Go forward, go and sin no more. Yes, what you've done is wrong. He doesn't have to tell her that. She gets it. She gets the memo. Just go. And sin no more. How beautiful is that? And the one Old Testament one, Isaiah 12, verse 2, has the prophet saying, I will go forward confidently now and will no longer be afraid. God is the source of my strength, the tower of my defense. The Lord has made himself my protector. I will go forward confidently now. And I've told you before in the past, the word confidence, confidently, comes from the Latin confide, which means with faith. Con is with, fide is faith. I will go forward confidently now. In other words, I will go forward with faith now. But see, the modern day culture today greatly lacks faith because of the relativism, because of the secular humanism. But listen to Isaiah 12:2 again. I will go forward confidently now. I will go forward with faith now and will no longer be afraid. God is the source of my strength, the tower of my defense. The Lord has made himself my protector. Don't look back on your past sins once you've confessed them. Move forward. Don't look back. So we have the wisdom of Scripture, these five passages, and there's more. I just give you my favorite five. And the wisdom of the saints, like St. Anthony of the Desert, who we celebrate today, like St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, like St. Augustine, and like St. Padre Pio. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.